There are three very important rules. Do not get them wet. Do not feed them after midnight. And most importantly, do not let them steal your baby. It's Gremlins on a Plane with a Baby. We saw a shadow in the cloud. So you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am your host, Tall John Shear. Each week we take a film, we look at it and ask a simple question, how did it get made? And this week is no different. We are talking about Shadow in the Cloud. It's 1942. During World War II, a woman boards a plane with a mysterious package. But I want to say much more than that. Let me bring out my two amazing co-hosts, Jason Mantzoukas and June Diane Raphael. How are you both?
Whoa, this was some wild stuff. This was, you know, I was not prepared. I had closed captioning on. I was not prepared for it to say Gremlin colon screeches.
Okay, here's June. Well, June, your first thoughts on this too, because I have a couple of things I want to get off my chest here.
First of all, I enjoyed it. So let me put that, put that over there for a second. I enjoyed it. I guess what I cannot believe, and I don't know, maybe I missed a part of it. Well, this was one of the rare movies that got my attention and kept it.
Whoa, it really did. You are blowing my mind right now.
Really did. But I guess the question I'm coming back to, you know, that I've, at the when it ended, I was like, did I miss an explanation of where these gremlins came from?
You did not, June. No. I would love to tell you that you did. You did not. Not only did they never explain why and how there were gremlins aboard the plane, the people on the plane seemed uninterested.
Unfazed,
uninterested in examining the where, the why, the how of the gremlins. Listen, I understand we're in a dogfight with the enemy, we crash land a plane, but at a certain point you gotta be like, what the fuck are these gremlins?
You know, the movie opens up with this like animated segment based on these like private snafu, which is like a series of like not PSAs, but like a soldier safety videos that they made during World War II. And there was this idea that like, who did this? Oh, a gremlin did it. This idea of a gremlin was kind of like in Family Circus, like, not me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That wasn't my fault. That was a gremlin.
A gremlin?
Yeah, everyone's heard of gremlins. They chew up planes, screw up the navigation. They get their kicks from hurting us.
Gremlins are all in your head. We owe it to our boys to stay focused. It's not critters who cause accidents. It's careless airmen. It's your responsibility to be safe. A tidy workspace makes for a productive environment. Shape up. We need men with strong hearts and clear minds. Look after yourself to stay fighting fit. Stay on task. Avoid distraction. And keep your wits about you. Let's keep our skies safe so we can win this war.
Immediately I go, wait a second. Is this movie going to be about a real life fucking gremlin? Like, that was when I was like, oh, I don't know what we're in store for here.
Which, by the way, I would have been on board for. Like, if the movie had concerned itself entirely with what's up with these gremlins, where are these gremlins coming from? We're under siege, not only outside the plane from the enemy, but inside the plane from gremlins. But they seem, the gremlins are like the C story of this movie, I think. Like,
but see, I was very interested in the other movie, the A and B story, which was, you know, about a woman in combat who's a fighter who knows what's going on and is in this position and stuck in there. And even the baby, I mean, I knew the baby was in the box from the first moment we saw the box, but
I did not know a baby was in the box. I thought a gremlin was in the box. Oh, I thought she was transporting gremlins.
I assumed whatever was in the box had to do with the gremlins. It seemed like she purposefully got...
Oh, wow. I knew a baby was in the box from the jump.
That's interesting. To me, it seemed like...
That box is very
small. She's getting on the gremlin plane for a reason. That must be the... That's what's up, you know? I don't know.
Well, that... But see, that movie... I enjoyed like what it must have been like for a woman who, you know, was a pilot in this situation. I was fascinated by that story. I was even into the love story and the romance of it all. What I could not wrap my mind around were the gremlins.
Well, see,
by the way, gremlins.
Gremlins. There were at least three.
I thought there was just one.
No, there was at least three that she kills.
I did the
she shoots. Oh, right. She shoots one. She beats one to death on the ground, and she there's at least three gremlins.
I think it's all the same.
And there's a white one, a whitish one with wings, and then there are little brown ones that don't have, they have fur but no wings.
Okay, well, I did watch this on my iPhone. I will tell you this much. I watched it in landscape mode on my iPhone while I ate
my God.
A takeout meal in my kitchen where there is a TV.
Yeah,
but
why
I chose.
Did you do that?
Wow.
Well, strangely, I watched it on my computer. Now, I'll tell you, this is my experience of the movie. I'll be very honest right now. I'm not afraid to be honest about how I watched it. I was planning on watching the movie and like cleaning out my closet, which has been a goal for 2022.
I love a double duty. How did this get made? I'm doing
the
bad movie and a test because then the 2 hours, thank God, by the way, an hour and 20 minutes. Amazing.
It was a nice time. Oh, so, but I was so interested that I let go of my task.
Oh, wow. See, for me, the problem, because I agree with you, June, all of these movies are interesting potential movies. The movie about the woman who, you know, not sneaks, but like falsifies her way onto a plane, woman in combat, in a man's world, all that kind of stuff. The love story with the baby and the blah, blah, blah. And the Gremlin movie. But the problem was, for me, it didn't commit to any of them. And so I never got pulled into it. I kept being like, well, what about the gremlins? If there was no gremlins for a while, or if not, I'd be like, well, what about the baby? You know,
I'm going to say something that I think also is a weird thing about this movie, which is you come into it like the first 30 minutes of the film is basically Chloe Grace Moretz alone in the bottom half of an airplane talking
in like a gun turret bubble.
Yes. Talking to people that we've only seen glimpses of.
The paper said not to open the package.
You shouldn't read the bloody paper.
Staff Sergeant Quaid, open the package. If it's Reigert, I'll take the heat.
Sir, I just...
Quaid, that's an order.
Quaid, do not open the package.
Cap, she wasn't lying about the Japs, and she wasn't lying about the Gremlin.
Lieutenant Finch, retrieve the package from Quaid and open it, sir.
Do not open the package.
Now, whatever's in that package is what's causing the failures on this plane.
Do not open the package.
Quaid, I beg you, don't be a dummy here.
Please don't do this.
Ah! I got it!
I thought that was going to be the whole movie.
Me too. That went on for so long.
Like, oh, is this like a pandemic movie where they were like, you're alone, you'll shoot the whole thing in this little rig we have, and this is the movie, you know? And
I thought it was like a Ryan Reynolds Buried Alive, like coffin movie, and I was like, but it's weird because you want to have this relationship with all these people when she gets out, but I haven't put faces and names together, and
that's why they put that stuff in. She would repeat a name and there would be like this atmospheric shot of that actor and who he is.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't place him in the setting. They must have shot them afterwards. It was just like these red and black. It's got this like very kind of 80s John Carpenter vibe score and lighting. It's got like...
Which also I didn't love how incongruous that score
very
was.
Very heavy synth score for a 19...
I love a synth score. I liked it.
For a 1940s movie, I was like, okay, interesting. But then the stylistic shots of like, who's that? Is that... What's his name? And then just like an artistic...
I didn't know who she was in
that
love
guy,
with.
I'd be like, I don't know which... Yes, that's what I wrote,
when
too.
She came up...
Which one is the guy who's the father?
I was like, who is who? I don't know. They're all just like, they all are gross dudes. Like, that's the one thing that I know. And at one point when it's revealed, there's one nice guy in the grossos.
Yeah.
That's the one that she likes. But the rest is just, it was really hard. It's like, it would be like doing Knives Out, but you would, you like, one character was trapped behind a door and like, oh, look at this, you know, this menagerie of characters here. Like, you don't get to meet them.
Okay.
Until
here's my question, though. I don't know if like we want to bring Devin on to talk about this, but I have some questions about the sound communication in the movie.
Bring him on.
Okay.
Well, Devin, our engineer knows everything about World War II radio equipment.
So she's down in that special spot that they put her in.
Yeah.
Now, in order for her to speak, she has to press a button for the sound to get to the rest of the grossos up there. Now, it seems to me that they should probably have to press a button to get on comms to be able to communicate with everyone throughout that
aircraft.
Wait a second.
Is this what you were going to ask Devin about? Like the intricacies of
a
fighter in World War II?
Because here's the thing. At certain points, it just seems like she's listening in.
She is.
Like she's just listening.
She listened for too long.
She listens Yeah, that's true.
For too long.
But when she's listening, but what I'm saying is like there are moments where they cannot be pressing a button to speak.
Oh, I see. Because they're all speaking, you mean? They're having
they're
a conversation.
All speaking.
Yes,
she's just overhearing what's going on.
No, that doesn't. I agree. That is strange. I also wondered if you were on comms and your man, because she's in a gun turret, you wouldn't be able to shoot and press the button to talk to people. You'd need to be able to talk freely. And say, you know, I'm there at my 6 o'clock or whatever. I'm, you know, you wouldn't be able to shoot and do that. That seemed like a contrivance so that they could shut her out almost when they turn her comm off, you know?
Well, good news, June. There are literally pages and pages and pages and pages of continuity and military anachronisms listed on IMDb. You can get into all. Yeah. Oh, yeah. People got into it. I will tell you this.
Oh,
when
that's
I went
funny.
On a USO tour to Iraq, we were in these big, you know, these big ships, and we were wearing the headsets, and you did have to, everyone had to press a button, but you were like a part of the conversation.
You know? Yeah. That's why you say over, because that means I'm going to let go of the button. Now you talk.
Right. But that's not what was happening.
No.
She was just hearing
Correct.
What was going on, but not everything that was going on, but just certain voices.
She was tuning into misogyny radio.
Yeah,
basically,
it was like a live podcast of bros. Just like, I got unit.
Nightmare.
I'll put my thing.
The new like misogynist podcast.
But see, here's the thing that I liked about the movie and her being down there for as long as she was. There was something about it that was like, okay, I liked the way that things were unfolding. Like she's down there. She's nervous about the package. Now we're nervous that these guys are going to maybe gang rape her. Now we're nervous that she's got to survive that. And she's now got to survive like Japanese missiles. And now she's going to survive an alien. Like there were already
so many
stakes.
So many worthwhile stakes. We didn't need the gremlins or we needed all the gremlins.
All the gremlins. Yeah, where are the rest of them?
You know?
Yeah, it's like Mario Lopez and his hair. Like, give me all the hair or give me none of
that
the hair.
That's it right there.
I had two
thoughts.
That's
the Mario Lopez rule of how did this get made.
I thought the guys were gremlins.
What?
Okay,
this is
so
wild.
I thought.
Okay.
So when she got into the plane, right, and they put her in that lower deck.
So
thing,
like they are the personification of monsters.
They are essentially like werewolves. Like get in this hatch because when we're flying, we become gremlins. Like we are a special crew.
Okay.
And then I was like, ooh, that's interesting. Like they don't want to see. You can't see us become the werewolves. So I was building that story. I was like, ooh, that's a crew of gremlins. And that's why we got to see that video before, which, by the way, I'm into that movie.
I mean, they weren't not gremlins.
I think that's what the movie is clumsily trying to say is like, there are monsters of all sorts. There are monsters, literal monsters, and the figurative monsters of like toxic masculinity. You know, and she has to face them all
of them.
It did seem like when she first saw the shadow in the cloud that she had maybe seen it before.
I agree. Yes, I agree so much that that was my headcanon that I started to build is that's why she got on this plane. Because what she has is going to combat the gremlins. She's here to get gremlins. And then when she was like not, when she was like surprised and it turned out she's just trying to escape with her baby, I was like, oh, so she accidentally got on a gremlin ship and gremlin ship is like a real thing and the guys don't
they
know
want
there's
her
gremlins?
Baby. The gremlins seem to only want
her
gremlins, baby.
Gremlin wants her baby. And by the way, she's indestructible because she does some shit here. Like, this is the problem
let
I have with
the gremlin.
The movie
raise the baby. Just let the gremlin raise the baby.
Gremlins can be a good dad. Wait, was the dad the gremlin? Did she have sex with? Is that the guy?
She lived, I heard her plane crash and she was raised for 6 years by gremlins.
Oh, I was,
so
by the way,
I'm part gremlin.
The fact that they never made any effort, nobody seemed shocked there were gremlins. They kept calling them big rats. They kept calling them big rats. They were human size. Big rats. What? What are you talking
about? Big rats that literally took the baby away. Then the baby is hanging very precariously on the outside of the airplane. And again, it's just a box. We don't know the baby. Do we know what baby's at the box?
Yes, at that point we do.
Yes, we do.
And she climbs out. Now, I'm all for...
She free solos this plane while it's at like 10,000 feet.
I think the plane's going upside down. But meanwhile, later in the movie, when she's got to like... When they're preparing for the crash landing, she's like, oh my God! Yeah. I'm like, wait, you just hung on an airplane and like lassoed your baby to you with
and
not
then
even
fell out and was like pushed back by the
she's
like,
indestructible
backdraft.
She's a Terminator.
Yeah. Oh, she gets blown. She falls out of the plane literally and simply she only survives because the Japanese plane below her explodes and its explosion rockets her back up and into the hole she came out of.
I mean, what? And without a mark on her.
And she, again, is unfazed. If that happened, the rest of the movie, she should be like, did you see what just happened to me? I fell out of the plane and was exploded back into it.
Well, no, but this is the problem. This is a movie, and I guess, like, you know, you're in the middle of war, so you don't react to anything because everything is crazy. But no one, the only thing they react to is that the pulling the plane up. That's the only moment of reaction. Even when she faces off against that gremlin in that final fight scene, fisticuffs in the water, like there is no...
Like, holy shit, there's a gremlin?
Here's what I'll say. The men in the movie seem more upset and emotionally, viscerally furious. They are more engaged on an emotional level with the fact that there is a woman on their plane, more so than gremlins.
1,000%. Like, 1,000%. It shakes them to their core. They're like, we can't do our job.
Is that a real girl? Is that a dame? Is that a real dame? It was like an episode of Is That a Real Dame, the podcast. Like, what is happening? They're so upset about that, but they don't have a single word for the fact that there are goddamn life-size, I mean, human size gremlins on the that they are insisting are giant rats. What?
But for a movie that is only like a brisk 72 minutes or whatever it is, there is missing one scene, right? One scene where they go, just one. If they give me this one scene and it changes it all, where literally they don't believe her. Like, she's like, there's something out there. She fires a gun. She lies to them. I don't understand why she lied to them about firing a gun. I guess because she shouldn't have had a gun, whatever. But
she's got a baby up there. I mean, she doesn't want them to think she has a gun.
I didn't understand why she's... I think that's true, but I didn't understand that, and I couldn't understand why she put her finger in between the lock so that it couldn't get opened. That... It's just going to rip your finger off.
I mean, by the way, I also don't understand why that package couldn't fit on her lap. It seemed like that package was easy enough to fit in the hole
for
there.
Sure.
Like, yeah, okay, but I guess what I'm missing is when she says, there's something out there, like, you don't know what you're talking about, you dumb dame. And then she's like, no, there's something out there. Like, yeah, you dummy, you know. And then all of a sudden when they all see it, all you want is like a moment of like, I guess you were right.
Yeah.
Like, no one ever, like, no one even acknowledges, like, oh, shit has gone south
well,
here. Like,
the version we get is from Taggart, who I think is the Scottish guy, who is, like...
I like that.
He's so aggressively misogynistic towards her. And he's so, he pushes her into the gun turret. He's so like, you know, like, and she comes, when she finally does emerge, when she free solos the plane and climbs back in with her baby, she spent like now minutes on the exterior of the plane. She climbs out to the, she gets to the wing, she gets the baby, she climbs back in. He's fighting a gremlin. And he says to her, his final lines, his redemptive line is, "Get that baby out of here, you idiot." And then he gets sucked out of the plane by the gremlin. I was like, this guy is going down swinging. He is like, "Get that baby out of here, you idiot."
Look, he loves it. Like, he loves that baby. There is so much here that is so, like, I get that. It's a midnight movie. It's a genre movie. It's a horror movie. And it's like trying to hit you on all these things, but it just doesn't feel like, it almost feels like it crashed mid movie. Like, it is going towards a place and then it just sort of like everything goes off the rails I couldn't figure out.
What was hard for me is, there's such high emotional stakes to it. It's got great dogfight action, set PC kind of like, you know, planes are shooting at them
Sky
while
Captain
the Gremlin.
In the world
a
of
lot
tomorrow.
Of stuff is happening. But I felt like the emotional weight was never there. Like every time when Chloe Grace Moretz would like interact with the baby, I was like, I feel like she just met that baby 30 seconds before they put the baby in her arms and we're like, okay, we're going to go. Ready? Okay, here's the baby. Great. We're going to set the baby in the box. Okay, great. Go. You know, like, I didn't feel like, and same for the actor who's revealed to be the father of the baby. Like, I didn't feel like the emotional weight was there. So
because it all happened off screen.
Yeah.
Like, you have no connection between any of these characters.
I wasn't in their love. I wasn't inside of their love story at all, you know?
And while we're on the subject of Taggart, I just want to talk about this crew. Is this an American crew? Because it also is
no,
like...
No, they're super international. There's a British guy. Yeah. There's a Kiwi. There's a...
It's the Allied Forces.
It's like a whole ragtag group. But they do, again, no favors because for 80% of the movie, they are just voices on a radio. You know?
I know. I do wonder, you know, so it came out in 2020. Like, I do wonder the choice to have her down there for that long. It did really feel like something must have happened.
It felt pandemic-y to me. You know?
Very much so. Now, I did, you know, I did love the choice of her being in that little area and thinking that her child had died, like, and having her. I mean, she had to do a shit ton of acting down in that little.
I think she carries a lot of the weight on her shoulders and does an amazing job. But I will tell you one thing.
I mean, she does her best to carry the whole movie. Like, almost nobody else gets screen time for the most part, you know?
Yeah, and I think the only thing that I felt bad about, because I do think that she is very good in this film, is when she dropped the accent, I didn't really notice it. Like, when they, hey, wait, she's talking different. Is she?
And
like,
I know.
I thought the accent was...
Well, she had been doing a real British accent, you know?
And then she
became American.
I guess what I have a trouble with is maybe like a 1940s accent and a British accent were close enough that I was like, oh, I didn't read it one way or the other.
A 1940s American accent?
I just felt like
a mid-Atlantic?
Hey, I'm getting in that ship and I'm going to go over there. I'm British. You see, we're going to go get in the lorry and get in the lift. Come on there.
I'm so shocked you don't get more period work. You don't work more in period films.
I'm trying.
Accent work?
Yeah. Hey there, boy. You think I'm over here?
Listen,
I'm
a classic Brit. I want to hear your monologue for the old audition in that accent.
Hey, you want to come on down to the beach? I got to go to old beach thing. Yeah. We've been there since 1940.
No,
yeah.
Listen, here's where I, you know, obviously I just had a birthday. I'm getting older. But I was watching the movie and I'm like, I feel really like I'm watching it. I thought she was great and I enjoy watching her. But I'm like, is she like a 12 years old? And then I just was like, I'm just getting so much older that when I see someone who's like, oh, this isn't an adult woman. This is like, this isn't a coming of age story. Like, this is a story about a grown woman. She's a grown woman. It was just, did anyone else have that? But maybe I'm just like,
no, this happens to me all the time in this exact same thing where I think a young, especially it happens, like Chloe Grace Moretz is a great example. I feel like I got to know her when she was quite young because she was yes. Hit Girl in the Kick-Ass movies and she was a kid. So the idea that she's now not just an adult who absolutely it's organic for her to have a child, but in my mind, I too was like, oh no, the kid has a baby. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Right. No, that's she's like a 30-year-old woman probably who has a baby. That's right. Entirely appropriate in 1942.
She would be a middle-aged woman.
Yes, she's close to death.
Probably actually, yes, she's probably actually like an older mom.
Yeah. So
she's so confusing and I'm having a hard time connecting.
She is
sometimes.
23. She's 23 when she made this movie.
So she's still pretty young.
She was a bit young.
Oh, she's still young. Okay.
Still, by the way, probably not too young for the role.
No. Yep.
No, because it's like you're thinking about these are soldiers are getting into the army at 18.
They're all young. Right, yeah. So the whole cast is super young, you know.
But she just seemed so young to me. I was like, I'm watching a child.
Yeah,
Can I say one thing?
But I thought she was even older, but go ahead, yeah.
When I typed in Shadow in the Cloud on Google, one of the first things that showed up was, based on a true story, and then
what?
And then I clicked it and I was like, wait, how is that one of the most frequently asked questions based on wait, I can watch the movie based on a true story, is that true, did that happen, how
oh
could that
God.
Like the fact that is that often asked.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say it is a testament to her kind of star power that the movie even is watchable at all, because it is so much of it is static. It's just her in the turret. And then the rest of it is so chaotic and geographically confusing. Who's where, when, who's who are these actors? And when she comes up out of the bubble, I was like, is the guy that she was in love with still alive? Do we even know which one of these? Yeah. Like, we keep seeing bodies on the ground.
Now, I think she was great, but I was really connected to the basic story.
Okay.
And even seeing her at the end, that last moment, even though there are gremlins running around and nobody's told me why or how or where, even that last moment where I saw her breastfeeding, you know, I was like, God damn it, if this doesn't make me feel something. And I am absolutely intrigued by the premise of this story. So I really did connect to it. And I did. And I was like, oh, I so wish, because I think this could have been an incredible movie. About a woman who's in this situation minus gremlins.
Well, that's the thing is, you can't have all these things because then it's like, it becomes too much. It's like it's a hat on a hat on a hat, right? It's not just, I have to protect my baby. It's, I also have to fly and land this plane. It's also, I have to fight these gremlins. Like,
Let's go back to basics.
Yeah.
Snakes on a Plane was only about snakes on a motherfucking plane. There were no babies.
They're snakes. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like there are wolves on the plane. Or like, it's gremlins. You have to answer, where are these gremlins from? And why are they called gremlins? Why are they called gremlins? And are these aliens? Are they, like, I also was like, when they crash landed and you, she goes out and she beats the shit out of a gremlin to death with her bare hands.
Breaks his jaw into his own skull.
She uses the gremlin's taloned hand and does the why are you hitting yourself thing, kind of, and kills the gremlin with the gremlin's own taloned hand. The gremlin never bites her or never gets a hand on her. It doesn't matter. That's fine. I kind of wanted, though, at the end, for her to be at what you're describing, June, is that final tableau of she's done it, they've rescued the baby, there's a couple of people left alive. I kind of wanted, like, over the crest of the hill for there to be, like, hundreds of gremlins.
Yes.
Ooh. I was, let them land on Gremlin Island and then tell me, guess what? Ooh. Gremlins are part of the mythology of this story.
Well, but this is like, again, and this is where my mind is going, and this is what it's like to, you know, to watch a movie with me. When she put the baby on her breast, which I thought was actually a very, you know, the breastfeeding moment was a very cool visual for the end. I don't know if I feel like it worked,
super
but
cool
I like
visual.
That.
Super cool visual.
No, listen, I didn't know like how her milk didn't dry up after all that trauma. I mean, yeah. she had been hanging off a plane.
I'm glad we're talking about
earlier.
This. I'm glad we're talking
and
about
she
this.
She was still lactating.
She was still just, she was, well, in a lot of takes, in a lot of scenes, you can see that she's leaking. She's leaking milk. You can see it. It's out there. And
well, I mean,
that was
the dead giveaway. That was the dead giveaway that it. That was a dead giveaway that it was a baby in the box. But I thought at the end, the baby would be like, it would be like, I'm going to put this baby in my breast. And then the final scare would be like, ah, like in the baby was a Kremlin and bite her in the chest.
Oh, I never thought that.
So that's, I thought, yeah.
I never thought that, but I did think like somehow these gremlins have to win, right? Like, or not
well,
win,
I mean, that one gremlin fell
like
from
a,
the sky.
Yes.
The one that she fights and punches in the face with his own fist.
Yes.
I'm that one fell from the fucking
That's
sky.
That's the one that
and
she chopped
fine.
Its tail off and it had wings. Like, we think she kills it, but then it sprouts wings and
See,
flies
and
away.
That, I thought that was a great moment.
I
there
did
were a couple
too.
Of moments like that where I thought it was really well directed, where, like, she, when she, and I agree, the geography was insane, not seeing anybody up there. Like, here's what I justified. I was like, something happened. It is pre-pandemic, but something happened with this cast or the plane or something where they could not shoot anything up there.
Or they just didn't
budget
have the budget.
Budget was cut.
Yeah.
Like, something major
budget was
must
cut.
Have gone.
How much do you think this movie cost?
$7 million.
I bet more than that. Like, $20
million? $10 million.
Oh,
I mean, it's not a small budgeted movie. I guess there are some really big.
There's a couple of exteriors.
Yeah,
there's a couple, but there, but you know,
but it is sort of like at a certain point, it's like a one woman show.
Exactly.
Down
for
in
a lot.
Little,
of
little
it.
Glass
I was gonna
bubble.
Say, would you guys help finance me
to do the
putting
remake?
That up? Yeah, on the West End.
Only
in
if
good old London
theater,
London baby.
Only if you breastfeed. I would have. Yeah, there was a lot of. To me, this mm-hmm. could have been like Alien, right?
Yes.
Like, oh,
an
no.
An element of that, yes.
Oh,
sure.
No, there's a gremlin on the ship. Or there's gremlins on the ship. Mm-hmm. Okay, and there it could have had, like, I think for me, there was too much going on, and that's why the movie ultimately kind of didn't work. I enjoyed parts of it, but it would have...
You would like Gremlin.
I would have liked more of the horror Gremlins movie. And I didn't need the dog fight. I didn't need her. What'd you say?
I said you wanted Gremless.
That's
I
the shirt. Yes.
Little Gremless.
Gremless.
Oh, by the way. Gremless.
Oh, it really, I like that element of it. I would have liked almost more of her in the plane with the other actors and the gremlins, so we would get to know the ensemble better, we would get to understand the stakes better,
yeah.
And that the threat was truly these gremlins.
Somebody need to be transporting gremlins. There needs to be a rumor
about
gremlins.
We can't be talking
about
this movie this much. A movie that has gremlins in it and have it not have none of the main characters really be like, what the fuck is up with these gremlins?
Snakes on a plane.
Why do they want?
They tell you how
those
snakes. They don't just like say that snakes are on a plane. They tell you how the snakes get on a plane. In Gremlins, you understand the rules of the gremlins, why they even exist. Every one of these movies, The Thing, you get it. Like, you get Alien, you get it.
Yeah.
Here's a couple questions though that are grim-less. The baby in the box. I didn't see too many holes in that box. Would the
no, that was they so that's why
they
I by the way,
the,
I knew there was yeah. a baby in the box. Because
that
in the very
vent?
Beginning, when she's packing up the box in that montage sequence,
yeah.
there's like an air, there's like a little ventilation patch
it's the speaker.
On the box.
It's the speaker area for it, because it's a radio bag, she calls it.
Okay, so yes, that was down on the lower right-hand side.
Right.
Which would mean that the baby, like, that's a,
now, I will
still,
say, the
baby
is tucked
swaddled.
In a way
yes.
that the blanket is probably covering that thing.
That is my thing. That I was like, the baby's arm and head in a blanket, because that baby is swaddled to the, yeah.
I want to say shame on this movie for, there's a moment where she crash lands the plane, and they give the one and only fantasy sequence in this movie is she visualizes her dead lover and dead baby. Like, she visualizes, I'm gonna turn around and I'm gonna, and but the movie shows it to you in a way that is almost as if it's really
but
what's
I thought
happening.
All of those visualizations, I thought all of those were fantasy sequence like that one.
But in this one, it's like you see the baby thing is crushed and the lover is on the floor dead and there's blood seeping out of the radio box. And I was like, oh, fuck. Did this happen? Yeah. And then it cuts out and it's clearly it's a fantasy. But I was like, hey, man, don't make me think the baby is dead. Don't do this just to get just to zap me, you know, like she
yeah.
did it.
Yeah, it's a very hard fantasy
manipulative
sequence
to me, yes, in a way that I was,
yeah,
like, I don't
not
appreciate
like
this.
Seeing even like
don't
dream
make me think
baby
this.
Blood.
Exactly.
Like, it was too much yeah. for me. It was just too much for me. Yeah.
They also, I mean, this is just dumb little stuff, but she says at some point, we have to crash land. We have to dump the fuel and dump all the cargo or we're going to explode. They do neither of those things and they crash land and it explodes, but they manage to get away. There was just like dumb little stuff that I was like,
I laughed so hard when that gremlin whose tail she cut off and it started flying back to her, when she was just trying to throw out like various pieces of cargo to try
yes.
to hit.
Just to try and drop it on the ground.
Like that, you really have to have like
you're
incredible
traveling at hundreds of miles per hour.
Hey, look, she's actually one of those great people at a carnival that can drop like the circles over like the pyramid and then you get a big prize.
I laughed so hard also at her with a piece of pipe trying to catch the baby who's like 10
oh my
feet
God.
Away.
Yes.
I was like, you are traveling. You are traveling at hundreds of miles an hour.
She
thousands of feet in the air.
Her face wasn't even like really rippling.
There's
her
no
hair.
Shear. There's no wind. No. They're in a dogfight. The plane must be doing evasive maneuvers because they're getting shot up by the Japanese aircraft that are attacking them. She is just reaching out with that pole, going to catch this baby on a stick. I was like, what is happening?
So again, I know I don't want to keep on circling back to it, but why do the gremlins want that baby so bad?
Why do they want that plane? Like,
well, I mean,
no, they
plane,
want the baby. They want the baby. And I
why
think
they
wanted
they want
the baby before she got on that plane.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Did the gremlins show up because of the baby? Or
do the gremlins
this plane
work
just,
for the abusive husband?
Was this plane just riddled with gremlins and she happened to get on it? Uh-oh, the gremlins want the baby now.
Well,
you know?
But the minute that she sees that guy in the beginning, right, who gets disappeared right before she gets on the plane, right? She's in the Air Force. She's in the airfield.
Right.
There's a guy in front of her. And then he goes... And so the gremlins are on the ground.
And
the gremlins
she says
are there.
They're on the wing. She sees the hydraulics have been ripped out. And she mentions it to the crew. And the crew's like, you didn't see
yeah,
that. You're
alive.
That's when they're saying, shut up. There's a dame. You know, she doesn't know anything. You know,
there's
whatever.
There's a lot of questions about why, like, are gremlins mischievous? Or are they baby, like, or do they want that baby's blood? Because I also feel like they took the baby, like, the way that you would be like, oh, I'm going to save this for later.
Also,
like, you know, like
why
like,
not tell us, like, oh, Hitler invented gremlins in this world.
Or the Japanese, because when the
world,
Japanese were underneath. Like,
yes,
this is a new,
they
yeah.
have, in this World War II story, the Nazis have gremlins. They've
yeah.
succeeded in their supernatural,
the secrets
in
of
their
the Luftwaffe
stuff. Exactly.
Yeah. I think you're right, Paul, that it was, you know, I think the war was a backdrop to what was happening with the gremlins, that the gremlins wanted to take that baby somewhere else
and make
do
it a gremlin?
Something, either make it a gremlin or make hybrids or some such.
Well, because here's my thought. I think that the gremlins look like, remember that movie we watched, Sleepwalkers, where it was like the mother and son who are the cats? Oh my gosh.
Oh,
all right, so.
I mean, vaguely. Weren't there a bunch of dead cats hanging in a tree?
Yes. And there's a bunch of dead
the
cats.
Only thing
I don't
I
think
remember.
I was there for that.
You 100% were. Because, I remember. They were an incestuous mother and son, which you
yes.
refused to believe was an incestuous mother and son. Did you think
yes.
that they were a couple?
Yes. Yeah, you were very upset about the mother and son there.
I can't remember. There was some funny
nothing,
conversation
nothing
about that.
Nothing is sparking anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, Lauren Lapkus was the guest.
That's funny.
But there's a really famous scene where like a cop is trying to pull over a man cat and he's like, and his face turns into like a man cat. But they looked like hair. They look like the cats from Sleepwalkers.
When the gremlin is on the outside of the bubble and its like tongue starts to expand and get
big. I didn't like that.
I was like, what is this? Let it do something. I thought it was going to like,
just flexing.
I thought it was going to spit acid so it could get into the bubble. Or I didn't understand. Yeah. Like they give you specifics. But they don't give you specifics. They don't follow through. You don't get third act explanations. There's no exposition. I was like, what? These men and this woman have survived, and this baby have survived an insane thing. A plane crash, a dog fight, a war itself, a misogyny, the threats to a baby. But the highlight should be we saw gremlins and we fought them. Like, what the what?
And won.
Yeah.
You know, that one shot, you're right. Like, I never knew, I really didn't know what the gremlins could do. Like, did they ever really kill someone or just sort of throw them off the planes?
They kill people, but they also seem to be mostly like pulling the plane apart midair. They're destroying the engines.
Very unsettling.
They're just
like
tearing.
Rats.
They're tearing. They seem to. Exactly. That's why the guy's like, I saw a big rat. Like, is that what they are? Are they just like rodents that have infested
rats of the sky? Like pigeons?
They've infested this plane and they're just.
These are not real though. It's like this is like. Like I can understand. Okay, they seem to have ill will towards our group in particular. Or like, why do they need three?
They bring in this plane? Because like the plane, villains in a way that I'm like, what is their motive? What is the gremlin's motivation?
If it crashes, don't they die?
No, well, because at least one of them can fly.
Okay, and I guess the other question I have is this, and this is
are these aliens? Are these aliens or are these just a species?
I thought they might be aliens.
I assumed aliens as well, but are these just a species of animal we haven't seen
before?
One of the best things about a movie like this is I thought they were vampire bats at one point. I was like, are these going to be vampires?
I mean, none of it really makes any sense, but I will ask you about this because this is another trope that I noticed, and this is off Gremlins again, just to every now and then bring it away from Gremlins and ask you this. A lot of times in these movies, like people are being very pessimistic in a moment where it feels like total shock should be happening. Like when they're about to crash that plane, like it's not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You know. And I was wondering, first of all, does that help? Like, would you do that if you're in a moment like Dom Toretto shooting off the thing? Like once you're in mid flight, once you are in free fall. Don't you want to be a positive?
Very quiet, actually.
That's what I would imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that you would be, June, like if you and I were, flying off a cliff, do you think you would hold your criticism back? Because at that point, what can we do? We've already committed to making it. So at that point, I always find it such a funny, weird thing that people are so pessimistic in the middle of a moment of life and death. Like, my last thing I said is, take the baby, you dummy, and we're not going to make it. Like, your last words are, I'm not going to make it, is really like a dark.
They also execute a crash landing that is so insane. And so like bananas, like they don't just crash land. They have to do a full 180 in the plane in order to crash land correctly. And
yes,
they execute it flawlessly. Like they execute something that I suspect is literally impossible and do it. And it is so funny to me. That's the thing is like everybody is just doing stuff in a way that I was like, okay, cool. You're all like badasses in the air. Fine. Still gremlins. Guys.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you still be saying, what the fuck was that? What was that? What did they want? Where did we pick them up? Like,
I will tell you that Casey has a
gremlin.
No, she has a cousin. His name is Jimmy Jet. He is a former airline pilot.
Okay.
And Jimmy Jet was, he worked for like Delta. And
wait, is his name really Jimmy Jet or that is like?
Yes.
Wait, so his name
was Jimmy Jet? His name is not Jimmy Jet, but he calls himself Jimmy Jet.
I was going to say, if your name is Jimmy Jet, you have to become a pilot.
And Jimmy Jet maintains that he has seen not one, not two, but dozens of aliens up in the sky.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. this is a big thing.
This is a big thing. Yeah. Now, I think I'm pretty sure Delta asked him to not return.
Wow.
After he started publishing his newsletter. But.
Wow. We have to get.
So, but I will say that it occurred to me watching the movie, like maybe at one point I thought maybe these guys have just seen so many creatures up there.
Sure. Yep.
That they are nonplussed.
Well, it reminded me, of course, of the Twilight Zone, famous Twilight Zone episode with William Shatner.
Yes.
Where there's a is it William Shatner?
Yeah.
Where there's
William Shatner,
where
he's
a
monster on the wing.
Yeah, exactly. A monster on the wing of the plane. And so and when it started, I was like, oh, is this going to be like one of those kind of stories? Is this a... And then when the closed captioning told me that it was a gremlin, I was like, oh, here we go. This movie is going to be gremlins on this plane. And then it kind of was, but it also kind of wasn't. Like, they were just as concerned about other things as they were about the... Again, I'm obsessed with the gremlins. And also, I can't believe that we're allowed to call them gremlins. Even though
Gremlins actually was created by Roald Dahl, right? Or is that how you pronounce his name?
Is that I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, he actually came up with that term in his first children's book.
Oh, wow.
And gremlins were fighting humans because of deforestation. But, he was
gremlins,
a pilot.
The Joe Dante Gremlins is not an adaptation of the Roald Dahl Gremlins.
No,
is,
okay, no. Yes. So, but that term gremlins has been around since he was a fighter pilot. His first story was about gremlins. Gremlins became a whole thing.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
But now I do have a question about,
I like that this movie, which I did not know, and I guess I could have inferred from the cartoon at the beginning, that this movie is taking an actual thing that pilots would describe something bad, shoddy workmanship as gremlins having gotten at it, and it has actually said, what if really gremlins were the cause of the plane's problems? What if actual gremlins rather than just bad workmanship, right? That's what this movie's launching point is. What if that saying or that phrase was actually true and that the engine failure was due to... Not because the mechanics did a bad job, but because an actual gremlin is tearing out the wiring or whatever.
By the way, I just Googled it to make sure I was right. It did start among airmen. Okay. So, and Roald Dahl like popularized it. There was this idea.
Yes.
That there are spirits, fairies, leprechauns, and gremlins. And so basically, there was this, it got very popularized during World War II, but it was even starting in 1938 about these mystical creatures, and there a lot of servicemen talked about these gremlins. So, I mean, Britain saw the first gremlins. That's basically all we know. They're the product of a machine age. They believe it was a passing of the buck, important to the morale of the pilots, that it wasn't their fault. It was another person's fault because they were such a complex machine. So they didn't want to be blamed for any of these things going wrong.
So, wow. Okay. I mean, that's interesting.
Boost their morale.
They chose to like take that and make it like an actual thing, like an actual gremlin. But then I feel like they just did. That's what they did. They did that alone, and they didn't.
I mean, this is really funny. It's really funny that they created like a fake person to help boost the morale. Because listen to these ads: gremlins are floor greasers, so watch your step. Gremlins love to pitch things at your eyes, so wear safety goggles. These are all real.
Oh,
gremlins will push you around, so watch where you're going. Gremlins will get you if you don't watch out. Why help little gremlins? Dust in the corner. Like, it's like they basically are creating someone not to make you feel bad for fucking up, which is a really like amazing and weird thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, to basically it's not your fault.
It's a scapegoat.
Yes.
It's a scapegoat to cover up, bad workmanship on complicated, on flying machines.
Well, then maybe, I guess that was the whole point of the story, right? That she was more capable. She saved them from the
mechanical problems that these literal gremlins were causing.
Yes, but she also saved them from enemy fire.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And she was... save them from their incompetence in a way. And I guess that's all the explanation we needed about the gremlins.
I guess so. I guess I would have liked a little more. I would have liked to have known, like, where'd these gremlins come from?
Hey,
guys, what's up with these gremlins? I would have loved her to be at the end like, what's up with these gremlins?
Well, not only is she like, all right, so she fights gremlins. She hangs out on the airplane. She's got this baby. She's transporting it. She writes her own fake letter. She's good at shooting a gun. She's good at beating up people, saving the day, exploding, and all of that. And she, I think, creates the term shoot your shot. Because at one point she turns to the pilot of this plane and says, you got to shoot your shot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, and that to me made me laugh.
I also didn't understand. She at some point says, you have no idea how far I'll go. You have no idea how far I'll go. And I'm like, who's she talking to right now?
I think to the gremlins.
I mean, by the way, at that point, I want to say we do. We do know how far you will go. You got blown up out of, like,
Not yet.
This is before that. This is when she's about to climb out and hook the baby.
Yes. You're right. Yes. So it was to the gremlins. It was maybe telepathically was to the gremlins.
Oh, my God. I almost wish she had been like, I wanted her to be like a spy. In my mind, she was a spy and she snuck aboard this plane because she knew there were gremlins and she's on board to fight gremlins. You know, she's like Hellboy or something, you know, and they have no idea. And she's like, that's her job, is she's like a badass monster killer. But when she was just as surprised by the gremlins as everybody else, I was like, oh, no, this movie is very different. I don't know what's happening. She doesn't know about the gremlins. Nobody knows about the gremlins.
But even her first reaction is like, there's a gremlin out there. I'm going to take a gun and I'm going to fucking shoot it right away.
First thing was, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, I'm taking this one to the grave.
I'm not going to tell anybody I just saw a gremlin.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit. This was some wild stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know. You were in. I was.
Holy cow.
I like a plane movie.
Yeah.
So it certainly scratched that itch.
Yep.
And then I enjoyed the motherhood piece of it. And
it really
There are some very cool things.
I was on the fence until breastfeeding. And, you know, automatically breastfeeding in a movie, just I'm like, it skyrockets to the top of the list. So I thought it was great.
I loved that moment. I
did too. I actually, like, the two moments that I remember the most from the film. Well, I should say three. One, when she's working that artillery gun, when she's like, blah, 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 like Rambo style. Like, that was awesome. Great. Like, and just like, she's... like, she can really do it all, and I think that she does a great job of, like, you buy her, like, I never, at a certain point, and there are certain action movies where you're like, oh, I don't buy that person could hit that, like, maybe it's because of the Hit Girl of it all, but the way she beat the fuck out of that gremlin, it seemed believable to me, like, I felt like she wasn't a person who was into fisticuffs all the time.
Well, she was anger super of a capable. Mother. The only part, which you mentioned earlier, the only part that I made her look silly was when she was trying to drop cargo on the flying gremlin below. Because I was like, well, that just wouldn't. The minute you drop it out, it's going to immediately rocket behind you. You're moving in a plane. That's not how it works. But otherwise, yeah, I loved when she shoots, because she shoots two of the Japanese bomber guys.
Yeah.
One from her turret and one from a different turret. Like, she is, and she lands the plane. She is, like, Rambo is a good example. Like, she's adept and a badass in all ways, shape, and form, including giving her baby nourishment with her boobs.
All I would have needed was a tight, I've already said I needed one scene, but now I'll say this. I won't even take a scene. Just at the end of the movie, the credits go to black and it says, reports of this were blacked out for a like, just put a thing up there, like the government hid the thing. Like, she went off and did this. But here's the thing. And again, I guess the reason why people ask.
Wait, and
is
her
this movie,
lover, the guy that the father of the baby, he lives too, right?
Yes.
See, I never was like, it never, I was.
They you wanted the, all three of them to be together. They wanted, like, I wanted him to be with her while she was breastfeeding, then to be triumphant on that mountain, and then to hear the screech of a gremlin in the background.
Yeah, give me 200 gremlins, like, descending upon them. I
want
to know.
I want that monster from the fucking Book of Boba Fett first episode. Pop that out of the ground.
Yeah,
like,
let's get us.
Why people ask it's real, I do think it is confusing. And I think it's, again, you talked about like these moments in this movie that like are tropes or made you feel a certain way. You watch this movie, a crazy ass movie. We've already talked about why it's so crazy. And then you cut to this end where it's like you're seeing all of our crew members for more screen time than they even really had in the actual film, a lot of them, like in these like nice, like, hey, this is them at work and play before the gremlins hit. And then they just casually mix in real footage of actual soldiers. I think it's a weird choice.
Oh, wait, I missed that.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. The whole credit sequence is all these amazing women.
Okay, that's women. Interesting, because on Hulu, oh, I would have loved to have seen that. On Hulu, you couldn't watch the credit sequence.
Okay.
It prompts to another movie so quickly.
Yeah,
I know. So I saw this sort of like outtakes, but I didn't see.
Oh, so they basically have this like montage of all the WASPs, which are the women Air Force service pilots.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's really cool, but it is also confusing because like League of Their Own, I want to see the women playing baseball. Like, this is
oh,
this
so
is
that's why you're saying people might have thought it was real.
Because
I
do think there's something. It's like, this is not even a story about you. Like, this is not even like, oh my gosh, this is the first woman pilot who did something. It's like, this is just a straight up Rambo story. Like, but to put real people there, I'm like, it is a little weird. I was like, that's cool. But it's also like, wait, what?
I would have also liked it if they did that. If it was like a black and white photo of, you know, a female pilot. But then I was just going to say a black and white photo of like a plane with gremlins on it. Like
or a black and white photo of gremlins like, you know, and just like, hey, and they're like, me too. You know, it's like all these different, just classic gremlin black and white shots, gremlins in bikinis. Anyway, obviously we have an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. Actually, scratch that. There are people out there with this same exact opinion. We're going to hear from them. That's right. It's not second opinions. It's third opinions.
Jason, June, and Paul, I think they know it all, but Amazon reviews disagree. So open up your mind, but the sunlight pulls up high. Second opinions for you and me.
That's right, it's third opinions. There are a lot of positive reviews of this film. 42% are five-star reviews, but they seem to be bogged down in technicalities. It's not really fun five-star reviews. So we wanted to get into some of the more fun one-star reviews. This is written by just Amazon customer. What a complete and utter disappointment. The entire premise of the movie is a joke. There's no plot, no rhyme, no reason. It makes no sense. And the whole thing's about a baby? One star. This one's written by Brian L. Nasty Vogel, and it goes like this. This is possibly the worst movie ever made, and I watch a lot of movies. I feel obliged not to let the unsuspecting viewers purchase or rent this mess. I managed to get through this movie only by making a game out of how many consecutive seconds Chloe Grace Moritz's face was not on the screen. I only got to 2.8 seconds. That's the highest length by far. The movie has nothing other than a ridiculous dialogue featuring only voices talking to Chloe Grace Moritz. And then it goes, the plot is even worse than the ill-prepared props of the Speary Gun turret. I want my money back. That is one star. And that was written just a couple of days ago. This one's written, and our final one is written by Nat. I think this movie disrespects the audience's intelligence. It's a ridiculous excuse for storytelling. Did interns write this? And by interns, they must have been interns to an elementary student council. That's it. Children wrote and directed this. That's the only explanation. Now I don't feel so bad. You kids should pat each other on the head. Job well done. Don't let anyone squash your imagination until you're adults and you actually want to make something that you're proud of. In that case, don't do this. Just quit. Run away from any association to this movie. It will be a step in the right direction, kids. One star.
The kids that he invented. Wow. What a wild rant.
What a journey. Anyway, Jason, June, any final thoughts? Would you recommend this movie? I mean, June, you said yes, right?
Yes.
I mean, in an absurd way, yeah. And like I said, at an hour and 20, it zips by great. I was like, okay, I'm having fun. I had some structural problems with it. But I, you know, I'm into Gremlins plus World War II plus dogfight plus, you know, protect the baby movie. I was viscerally upset, though, I didn't think the movie was, the movie is flawed, but they used Kate Bush in the closing credits, and that broke my heart because that's just too great a song to use in too bad a movie. So that I had a real issue with.
Especially after the techno synth
especially
score.
After, yes, the synthy John Carpenter ripoff score to give us Kate Bush Hounds of Love at the end. I was like, how dare you?
I hear that. I really love the score, but it just that since it just scratched an itch for me and I loved it. But I enjoyed it, you know, I just enjoyed it. And the gremlins were shocking and we still have no answers. But even with them, I enjoyed it.
I wonder if we're just like, are we in a place in time where the world is full of such chaos that even a movie like this, we're like, yes, thank you. Thank you, movie.
You know, listen, it took
thank
me,
you,
to,
Gremlins
it took
on a
me
plane.
To a place that I didn't expect to go. And at an hour and 20 minutes, I thought it was a fine use of my time.
I will agree that if you were in a theater at midnight with a bunch of people,
fun.
It would be a fun...
I can see this as a midnight movie type. Yes, absolutely.
All right, so now here's my dumb joke that I saved to the end, and I've set it up now, so it's going to be too complex, but I'll say it anyway. You know, one of the characters in the film is Stu Bechdel, and I said, did Bechdel pass the Bechdel test by not talking about Chloe Grace Moretz? With another person for one scene, and he did not. So that's my answer there.
Wait, did Bechdel pass Bechdel the Bechdel, Bechdel test?
Great job, babe.
Wow. I'm not sure that you understand what the Bechdel test is.
No. Yeah. No.
So that joke is just about the sound alike of their names.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good one. I'd save that one at the end because I knew we had to get out on a high note.
It's really worth it.
I looked at this note that I hand wrote down. I was like, what is this? I was like, oh, I got to read that. June, you have something really fun coming up, right, at the Jane Club?
Yes. On January 22nd, we are hosting our third virtual day-long retreat, and it will be incredible. We have different speakers. We do writing sessions. There's meditation. It's just one of my favorite days of the year. And we also include separate and corresponding programming at the same time for your kids if you have an extra screen. And it's just a great way to start the new year. It's called New Year, New Jane. And if you head to janeclub.com, you can use the How Did This Get Made special code, which is HDTGM5 for $5 off your tickets.
All right, great. And Jason, anything else that you want to talk about?
You know, no, not really. Star Trek Prodigy's back out and doing great stuff. And then just like there's been good stuff. Like I watched that documentary, The Alpinist, and I thought that was fantastic. The Hilda movie on Netflix. If you're a Hilda fan, please watch the Hilda movie. It is just fantastic and beautiful. And everything they're doing there is great. And while you're at it, guys, go and watch City of Ghosts. Just watch City of Ghosts on Netflix, please.
And I'll just remind everybody that every Thursday night over on Twitch, which is not a scary place at all. It's just like YouTube. It's totally free. You can just log on. Rob Hubel and I host a show there, and you can watch the recaps of that show every weekend on YouTube. But just go to twitch.tv/friendzone. Last week's guest was Jerry O'Connell, who did his whole entire interview while he was working out at a Total Body Fitness. And we got to see lots of parts of Jerry. So check it out, twitch.tv/friendzone or my YouTube channel, where we also highlight some Matinee Mondays. Every Monday, we release a short video highlighting a classic episode of How Did This Get Made? And a big thank you to our movie picking producer, Avril Halley, who picked this film, found this film, watched this film, which came out only a year ago. She described it as, this movie is simultaneously the worst and possibly my favorite movie of 2020. And I think, honestly, And like, she's kind of right. There's enough stuff in here that really makes it fun, but it's so weird. And a big thank you to our producer, Cody Fisher, our audio engineer, Devin Bryant, our MVP, Molly Reynolds, our person who kind of oversees it all, July Diaz, and everybody else at Earwolf who makes this show all come together. And a thank you to Nate Kiley for all of his amazing research, his third opinions, his first opinions, and of course, the ghost of Craig T. Nelson, who designs all of our crazy fun art, and Kyle Waldron, who does all of our great Facebook art. You can check out tpublic.com for all of our shirts, and you bet there will be a Gremless shirt right next to a Googie and our Snowman shirt. There's always sales going on there, so just go to tpublic.com/HDTGM. You'll find it. It's easy. Just type in "how did this get made" in the search bar. You're smart. I love y'all. Every Monday, we release an old episode from the vault, so check that out. And if you want to weigh in, you could do that on our mini episode. Just give me a call at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. You could talk about this movie, or you can call for my advice line, where I'll give you some tips about how to be a new you in 2022. All right, that's all for now. We'll see you next week on the mini episode. How did this get made?